Welcome to the Defend the Fort podcast, a product of the Tigers Sports Network and Eagle Radio.
It's over. Bud Hayes has won the national championship in overtime, 48-46. The Tigers have won the national title.
4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Todd Morris will step it up. It is on the rim and good!
This is Gerard Welbrock, and we appreciate you joining us as we visit with current and former Fort Hays State Tigers.
2 seconds, 1 second, that's going to do it. The Fort Hays State Tigers are national champions. Fort Hays State national champions.
The Defend the Fort podcast is brought to you by Diamond R Jewelry on the Bricks in beautiful downtown Hays.
Snap is low, the hold down, the kick is up. It's got enough distance. Will it get through? It is good!
It's good!
He hit it! 56 yards! A career long for Dante Brown! And we go to overtime!
And our latest guest on the Defend the Fort podcast, Reggie Klitsky, the former Russell Bronco and Fort Hays State basketball standout. Reggie, we appreciate you taking a little bit of time to join us here on the podcast.
Appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. It's been a while since we talked.
Well, Reggie, ninth in career scoring at Fort Hays State, 1,281 points, led the team in scoring in 81-82, fourth in career rebounds, and obviously a great career with the Tigers, some successful teams. And I always like to kind of start these and just get a feel of how you found Fort Hays State, the recruiting process, and how you became a Tiger.
Well, that's good that I'm still on those lists. I was afraid that maybe over the years I'd fallen off, so that's good. So recruiting process, I went to high school, Russell High School. We had some pretty good teams there and won a state championship my senior year. I was being recruited by a lot of junior colleges in the state, and Fort Hays was also recruiting me. And as I considered what would be best for me, I felt like I would rather be at a school for 4 years than to go to a junior college and then have to start over at another institution in a couple of years. So for me, I felt like starting at a four-year school was better for me. Obviously, I hoped to maybe get an opportunity at a Division I school, but that didn't pan out. And I certainly have no regrets. Had a lot of success at Fort Hays and some national exposure. So it worked out for me.
Yeah, who knew? And obviously you probably didn't know either at the time when you chose to become a Tiger and you end up playing for Fort Hays State that you'd be kind of at the beginning of what I think a lot of people just still refer to as the glory years of Fort Hays State basketball. You were part of two different groups that made the NAIA National Tournament and a part of some really, really fun teams, and you were kind of on the ground floor of all of that.
Yeah, that really made it kind of fun, kind of see it grow that way. My freshman year, we were about a 500 team. We couldn't win on the road, couldn't lose at home. But you could kind of see the start of something building there. And we came back then the next year and really got on a roll. And I think we were undefeated. I don't know, we won first 20-some games. And there was a lot of fan support. We filled the Coliseum, and I think we got to number one in the rankings and had the memorable game with Denver that everybody still talks about. So I think that was really the stepping stone then to getting back on the national stage. You know, the Tigers had some success back, I think, in the early 60s with some NAIA tournament appearances, but had been probably a dry spell in there between. So then junior year, we had some coaching turnover right before the season and some players left, and so we struggled a little bit. But we kind of had to change from more of a run-and-gun type team we had as my sophomore season to slow it down pace. And once we kind of made that adjustment, we ended up being, I think, 500 in the conference that year, which the CSIC in those days was a pretty tough conference. So I felt like that was probably pretty good for that group. And then senior year, Bill Morris came in, and we were again back nationally ranked and had a great season and ended up being third in the nation at the end. So, I thought that, you know, and then they won it the next 2 years. So that really was kind of the springboard, I think, was those years that I was there.
You know, that team in 80-81, Joe Rosado, the head coach, you go 30-4. And boy, just looking at some of the names on that team, I mean, you look at Fort A State basketball history, and they're right up there. Max Hamlin, Mark Wilson, Cesar Fantuzzi, who I think was a fan favorite, Bill Giles, a local guy. Obviously, you from Russell, Lionel Hamer. I mean, there was some great basketball and really a good group of players that when you look in the history of Fort A State basketball, among the best to ever suit up and play for the Tigers.
Yeah, that was a really fun team as far as the way we like to play. I think it was an exciting brand for the fans to watch. You know, those we like to get out and run, and some of those guys could really get up in the air and had some dunks, and that always excites the crowd. And so, and they were just, you know, just their personalities. I think people kind of gravitated towards that with the personalities of some of those guys. And so, that was a special year.
You kind of touched on the Denver game. I think one, for those who remember that and were at that game, big time college atmosphere. They were ranked in the top five. Fort A State was there, and a premier showdown. I think it was the day the hostages were released in Iran. So it was there was just a lot of energy in that building. Fort A State went on to beat DU, and just a crazy, crazy night, and really the first big time game at Gross Coliseum, and it certainly didn't disappoint.
Yeah, I think that was maybe the first sellout since the opening game when they first opened it with, I think, the Globetrotters. So tremendous amount of energy in the building. And, of course, none of us had ever been through anything like that. So traffic jams and getting to the arena and all those kind of things you never really thought about before became something that had to be navigated through. So I've periodically looked back at my scrapbooks and stuff and read some of the articles, and I had an article from the writer from the Denver paper, and boy, they sure felt like the officials were one-sided towards Hayes. So I think something like the headline was General Custer had a better chance than Denver or something like that. So they didn't feel like they got a fair shake, but I think we won fair and square.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it was a crazy, crazy, crazy night. I think I remember reading something about Coach Rosado talking about having to get an escort to get to the arena. The traffic was backed up so far because of just the craziness in all the fans, and it was a fun time. And it was so different then. The Dunkel ratings were such a big deal, and that's how you determined who got into the District 10 tournament. And you guys beat Emporia, then Benedictine, and then Washburn with big crowds for those games as well. It was kind of a different way they did things in the NAIA, but those were equally exciting games, and then to beat Washburn to get to the back to Kansas City, the NAIA National Tournament.
Yeah, and it was always nobody knew how Dunkel ratings were arrived at, so it was always a guessing game how you were going to come out. And I think fortunately that year with the record that we had, we were pretty safe. But I remember in the other years, it was always a guessing game where you kind of fell.
Yeah, and Fort A State gets in, and then you get to the tournament, and I think I've heard you say it before. Kind of, I don't know if you're just happy to be there, but maybe the disappointment was losing to Hanover, a team I think a lot of people felt you had a chance to win and just didn't happen. Of course, you get to at a stage like that, anything can happen, but maybe a little disappointing to not go further once you got to Kansas City.
Yeah, definitely. I don't really know what happened that day. It just I guess wasn't our day. I don't think probably any of us had the games that we would like to help the team. So that, you know, when you're in postseason, that's the risk that you have. It's win or go home, and you don't get a second chance. And so I really feel like we were the better team talent-wise, but we weren't the better team that day, so we go home.
You mentioned being a part of that team, and we'll get into the third place team your senior year, but kind of a unique opportunity. You played for Joe Rosado, up and down, just a high flying, a lot of fun. And then Bill Morse comes in your senior year, completely different style of coach, but obviously very successful, Hall of Fame coach at a lot of different places, a lot of different, you know, organizations, with him being a Hall of Fame coach. But kind of a unique opportunity to play for two different guys like that during your career.
Yeah, definitely. Different philosophies, different styles of coaching. So I guess from my development, it was good. I really felt like as a sophomore, I didn't start maybe a few games early in the year, but mostly came off the bench. And then junior year with the team that we had and many player defections, I started and was, I think, the leading scorer. And so I was kind of looked to for more of a leadership role than I ever had been in the past 2 years. And I felt like that kind of made me come along as a player and made me better. And so when Coach Morris came in, I was ready to, you know, kind of be in the next step in my development and be more of a leader on the team. And so that's what I tried to be. And you know, we had Nate Rollins, who was older because he had been in the Army and had played at Marymount. So he was also a more experienced player. So combining that with some dynamic freshmen that we had with Raymond Lee and Reggie Grantham. So, you know, it just was a good mix of talent and experience. And I think that was reflected in the type of year that we had.
Yeah, no doubt. You were first team all CSIC as a junior. Then that senior year, you and Nate Rollins first team, and you mentioned Reggie Grantham and Raymond Lee coming in. And obviously when you talk Fort A State basketball, Raymond Lee's among the first names folks bring up. He was a game changer. What was it like to play with him? I mean, 'cause he could score, but was near the top in the country in assists, it seemed like, every year. I mean, he was a Tiger. For a player like you, that had to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I really feel like I was able to play with two of the best point guards that may have played at Fort Hays, and Mark Wilson and Ray Lee. And I just know, I especially learned it with Mark, if you get out on the fast break and you run the court, you're going to get the ball and you're going to get it in a position maybe to get an easy basket. So there was definitely an incentive to run down the court. And it's kind of hard to imagine, but back in those days, there was no shot clock and there was no three-point line. And so we ran a lot of four corners offense. And I say offense because we didn't necessarily use it to delay with Ray at the point, but we used it as an offense. So we just spread the floor and let him do his work and penetrate and pitch if necessary. So it was very effective. I can remember in the third place NAIA game with Chaminade, we had a couple guys get in foul trouble. Nate and I think Willie Shaw both got in early foul trouble, and then early in the second half may have picked up third or fourth foul. And so we went four corners pretty much the whole second half. But it wasn't to just hold the ball. We used it as an offense, so and effectively, and we ended up winning that game.
You mentioned Chaminade, third place game of the NAIA National Tournament. That was obviously a memorable game because they were memorable in the fact they beat number one Virginia and Ralph Sampson earlier in the year. And I remember a lot of the Fort Hays State fans bring on Virginia after the game. But a pretty high-profile third-place game just from what Chaminade had done earlier in the season.
Yeah, and as you know, both teams were working their way through the tournament, I think most people were kind of predicting or expecting that the two of us would meet in the championship game, and then as it turns out, we both got upset in the semis and had to play for third. You know, in third-place games, generally neither team particularly wants to play or be in them, because you had higher aspirations. But I think with this particular case, with them having beaten Virginia and all the notoriety that goes with that, I think we were ready to play and certainly wanted to beat them.
It's the Defend the Fort podcast. We're visiting with former Fort Hays State basketball standout Reggie Klitschke, two-time All-CSIC pick, member of a couple of teams that made it to the NAIA National Tournament his sophomore year in 1980-81, and, of course, third-place finish in 82-83 under Bill Morse. You beat Friends, Emporia State, and Marymount to get to Kansas City, and those rivalries from the CSIC, but then Marymount and the type of teams they had, those were special games, always guaranteed a big, energetic crowd. It would, I don't know if folks didn't go through that, just to understand the energy and the excitement and just the competition level between those rivalry games back then in the 80s.
Oh, definitely. Marymount with Ken Cochran as the coach, they always had good teams, and they always had a lot of talented players, and he just was constantly rotating them in. You know, they like to play a high-energy type of game too, and so those were always strong battles. And of course, Washburn, never any lack of hatred. I don't know if maybe that's a too strong a word.
No, but love loss. We'll just say no love loss between the two.
No love loss between those two schools or between the two of us. And so anytime we could beat them, that was just icing on the cake.
And then you throw, you know, Coach Slaymaker and Emporia State in there, and you had some great battles. And it seemed like when you had those doubleheader weekends, Friday, Saturday, there were two sellouts back-to-back when those two teams, or you hosted those two teams. And even Missouri Southern, who had great program then, and obviously Kearney, you'd play them mostly on weeknights. But those were guaranteed 5,000-6,000 fans at the game. It was crazy back then. Obviously the times were different, but, I mean, it was as big time as you could get.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that sophomore season, I think we had maybe a couple sellouts, and as you said, there was other games where there were 5,000 or 6,000 people there. So certainly a fun atmosphere to be a part of, and something I will never forget.
When you played a big crowd like that, I mean, was it the nerves extra or different, or do you feel it affected? Did it fire you up? I've seen sometimes you see a team, you get in a crowd like that, and they don't play as well because they don't want to let the fans down. Others play great. Could you tell a difference?
I felt like for us as a team, and maybe it was because it wasn't just a one-time thing, we didn't really let it affect our game. For me, I just tend to focus on what's going on the game, and I don't know, I guess I just had the ability to kind of block out the crowd noise, whether it was, you know, a few hundred people there or several thousand. I was more focused on the game. So, but certainly in warmups, with the band playing and all of that, you certainly were aware of the big crowd at that time, and certainly you weren't going to come out flat in that type of an environment because you really wanted to play well.
You mentioned the freshman, Ray Lee, Reggie Grantham. Willie Shaw was a new recruit for your senior year. And Nate Rollins, who transferred from Marymount. That had to be kind of unique because you'd have gone against him when he played at Marymount. And now he's a Tiger. He's on your side. He obviously was a great player, Tiger Hall of Famer in his own right. That had to be a little different at first, going up against a rival. Now he's your teammate.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Nate was not a small person. Mm-hmm. He was, 6'7", and very well put together and very strong. So, and I remember my junior year, there was a little bit of a scuffle at our home game with them, and there was a hard foul, and it didn't go well. And so there was some probably bad blood from that season. But, you know, Nate and I got along just fine. No problem. Just kind of had to learn to play a little bit different role because Nate was also an inside player. So you know, that year I probably played a little more of a four position than the traditional five, just because that's kind of where he excelled was down low with his strength and abilities there. That may have changed a little bit of what my game was in as far as what position I was playing.
It's kind of interesting how times change as well. You look back at that team that finished third your senior year, 32-4, and two of those losses were to Panhandle State. I don't know if folks remember how good they were, and that gym was a tough place to play, but they were a really, really good program and knocked you off twice that year, two of your four losses.
Yeah. You think of Panhandle State and think, how can that happen? Yeah. But they were good then, and I don't really know why. And you say their gym is a tough place. Gym is kind of a loose definition or description of what that place was. But that was, I don't know, maybe it looked like a middle school facility. But, yeah, they were good, and they knocked us off. I can't remember who our other losses were to that year, but you probably have that.
Well, West Virginia Wesleyan, obviously, in the national tournament, but I don't have the complete list in front of me who the other one was. But still a great year, 32-4, and go on to finish third in the country. And then you mentioned the back-to-back titles to follow, and a lot of that core carried over, and it was just a great time with Fort Hays State. And we touched on some of the names, but Mark Pauls from Buehler was you played with him. You touched on how great Mark Wilson was, Nate Rollins, Ray Lee. I mean, it's amazing when you look at the list of players and where they stand in Fort Hays State history, and you're obviously right there in that same group, the talent that came through Fort Hays State at that time.
Yeah, you know, you think about Mike Pauls, I think when he graduated, he was maybe number one on both scoring and rebounding, mm-hmm. which is kind of unheard of. And I know when Coach Rosado was recruiting me, he kept throwing Mike's name out and saying, you know, I want you to come here and try and be like Mike Pauls. And wow, that's big shoes to try and fill. So, in fact, he ended up giving, I had been number 42 in high school and I wanted to be 42 and I came to Fort Hays and they hand out the uniforms and, he hands me 34, which was Mike Pauls' number. I'm like, well, that's not what you told me. You told me I could be 42. Well, you need to try and be like Mike Pauls. So that was kind of beat into my head. I needed to try and emulate Mike Pauls. So I'm very familiar with that name, and yes, there was some other great names and talents that have come through there. We've talked about Ray and Nate Rollins, and there was Willie Shaw, who mm-hmm. ended up having a really good senior year. I think he was a key contributor to that national championship season. So, and then the characters that we've talked about on the 80-81 team. So. Yeah, a lot of good names, and even though a lot of years have passed, I think people probably still recognize them and remember them.
We're talking with Reggie Klitsky, the Defend the Fort podcast, former Fort Hays State basketball standout, and as good as you were during those days, two national tournaments, countless all-conference honors, it's the back gym days that people didn't get to see at Cunningham Hall where Reggie really excelled. And I didn't play a lot, but I played occasionally, and I seemed like I always had to guard you, which I still find completely unfair and unjust because it was impossible. But some very intense games in the back gyms those days. Tom Mann was the women's coach and a baseball coach and some of the faculty and staff. Those maybe were more intense than some of those inside the Coliseum.
Maybe so. I know there was probably more talking in those games yeah. than there was in the regular games, and the viewpoint of our abilities was maybe better than it actually was.
Yeah. Well, those were fun times, though, and of course Tom Mann never had a shot he didn't like, and then I always had to guard Reggie the few times I played, so I quit showing up because it wasn't a lot of fun. You got into athletic administration. You were at Fort Hays State a long time, now at Wichita State doing the same things. Obviously, athletics a key part of your life, and it kind of led you to the career you're in today.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly gave me the foot in the door, so to speak, of a career, and it's brought me a lot of success and memories that I couldn't have gotten anywhere else. you know, when I worked there at Fort Hays after graduating, we had women's team had a national championship. And of course the men's team under Gary Garner had the undefeated season national championship. And then when I come here to Wichita State, back in 2013, we make it to the Final Four, which is almost a surreal experience. So those are just, milestones or achievements in life that not too many people get to be a part of. And I've just been so fortunate. And had I not been at Fort Hays and had success, I'm not sure that all those things would have happened for me.
Yeah, I kind of want to touch on that. When you're at Hays and they win the national championship, the undefeated season in 96, being a basketball alum, that had to be pretty cool to see kind of the legacy and everything that you and your group had built kind of come back, and Fort Hays State was on the top of the basketball map again.
Yeah, it was truly special. And any time a team can go undefeated, that's just really rare. And it's sometimes when you're in the moment, you don't appreciate it. But looking back, it's such a tough achievement that it's so special. And, you know, the next year, I don't know how many games they won. I think the winning streak got up to 40 or something before they finally lost. And I really think had there not been, I think it was a facility conflict, yeah, maybe with state basketball, that we had to go on the road for the postseason and got beat up in South Dakota. But, you know, I think that team that year had a really good shot at winning the national championship too. Just didn't happen because of maybe some placement in the tournament as to where they were, where they had to go.
Yep, agreed. I'm still not quite over that, by the way, so thanks for going there, but not that I've held on to it. And you touched on the Final Four run of Wichita State, and that had to be so cool. And just, you know, when you have a player like Ron Baker, and that team was just so fun to watch and just kept, you know, winning games and surprising people. And quite honestly, I thought the game with Louisville was probably the national championship game that year. It's unfortunate they had to play in the semifinals, but what a cool experience. And to be a part of that each and every day, that had to be so much fun. And I think the entire state and really the country kind of got wrapped up in that run by the Shockers.
Yeah, and you know, that was a year where we weren't even sure we were going to get in the tournament. Ron was injured most of that year and kind of came back either right before the conference tournament or in the conference tournament. So we started our run then, and very special time. And you get to the Final Four, and it's you're walking around there, and there's so much hype and national attention, and you see all these banners and signage and stuff, and you see Wichita State's logo up there with Michigan and Louisville and Syracuse, and you're just like, wow, we're here. And it's certainly an unforgettable time. But, you know, as far as going to the game in a 70,000-foot or 70,000-seat football facility, not the greatest place to watch a game. You certainly want to go take in, if you ever get the opportunity, all the Final Four stuff and the pageantry that goes with it, but just stay in your hotel room or go to a bar and watch the game there. It's probably better than the seat you'll have.
Now, Reggie, I don't have anything else. Anything you wanted to touch on, you wanted to add? It's certainly been a pleasure to kind of go down memory lane with your days at Fort Hays State.
No, I appreciate the opportunity to visit about it and bring back some memories, and hope the Tiger, it's good to see the Tiger football team is much better in recent years, and I hope they continue that, and hope basketball also has good success.
Well, they're certainly on the right track, and it's been fun. Reggie, as always, can't thank you enough. Appreciate the time. Congratulations on a great career, and good to catch up with you again today.
All right, thanks, Gerard.
That is Reggie Klitsky, former Fort Hays State standout in men's basketball, our latest guest on the Defend the Fort podcast.